morning. Welcome to our Resurrection Sunday service. What a glorious day it is. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Our scripture passage this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that those of us that haven't seen have the opportunity to believe that Jesus died once for all and that he didn't stay dead, but he rose and he conquered sin. He paid it. Lord, may we just reflect on that this morning. May it resonate in our hearts that you love us and you bought us back. Lord, we just pray for Stan now as he comes up here, that you would just speak through him, speak through your word, Lord God. May we be changed inside and out, Lord God. And may we not just keep this message of hope and this good news to ourselves, but may we have a burning desire inside our hearts to share it with those who don't know. It's in your blessed name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. It is a joy to be with you on this special day. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? I trust you do. The title of my message this morning is Seeing and Believing. And we're going to look at one of the disciples, a disciple that you probably don't know very much about. His name is Thomas, and he was a bit skeptical. He was a doubter. In fact, that was his nickname, Doubting Thomas, and I'm sure you've heard that before. I don't know if you are a believer in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It just might be that you are a doubter like Thomas. You may be doubting the resurrection, and just like the other disciples of Jesus did at first. In Luke 24, 9 through 11, we read this. "Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them." The word "idle tales" also has a translation of nonsense. They couldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now we look at Thomas, we realize again that he was one of the chosen 12 to follow Jesus for 3 years. So they had time to reflect and think about the words that Jesus was giving them as they were journeying through the promised land. We read here in verse that Jesus is talking about telling them about he has to go to Jerusalem. I want to read this out of the book of Luke. It says this: Jesus had told his disciples at least 3 times that he was going to go to Jerusalem and offer himself as a sacrifice. It's recorded, "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again.' But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken." Can you imagine the disciples that had been with Jesus for such a long time, and he had told them at least 3 times that this was his purpose for coming, and yet they didn't fully understand? In their mind and hearts, they believed that Jesus had come to establish his kingdom, his political kingdom, and that he would rule over Jerusalem at this time. But Jesus came the first time as a suffering servant. He came to bear the sin of the world and to bear their sin also. So they didn't make the connection. Unfortunately, there are many individuals who do not understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't understand why he had to die. And the Lord willing, as I preach through this context this morning, that if you are a doubter, if you don't believe, if you're somewhat skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you will hear the Word of God and that you allow the Word of God to penetrate into your hearts and minds and you'll become a follower and believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look again at this context, John chapter 20, verses 28 and following. It's important for us to enter into this because it certainly is an important context. And as we read through it, we're going to realize once again the story of Thomas. It's so helpful to us, each of us, as we enter into this. Now, Thomas, called the twin, was of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had come to the disciples earlier, and I want to go back a few verses to grab a hold of that context, because it seemed like Thomas wasn't there the first time that Jesus revealed himself to them. In verse 19 we read, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and bled." And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, we don't know why Thomas wasn't there. But given the reality that he wasn't, he was still struggling with the concept of Jesus coming forth from the grave. Again, we read in verse 24, "Now Thomas, called the twin..." The word Thomas is a Hebrew word, and it means twin. And it's also Didymus in some other translations, which, again, is a Greek word for twin. "One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' And so he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands in the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" You know what a sad comment that Thomas makes, because these were his fellow disciples. He had lived with them for 3 years. He trusted them. He knew them. And they were giving him the truth. And yet he failed to accept it. He said, "I have to see in order to believe." And there are many people today who say the same thing. "Prove it to me. Show me the reality of the resurrection." And we're going to find out as we continue on in this context, that Jesus is going to prove that he is the one that came back from the grave to Thomas. "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples again inside and Thomas with them, Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Aren't you thankful that Jesus has come to bring peace? Especially at a time like this when there's so much turmoil, there's so much fear going on in the world today. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. First of all, peace with the Father. As we realize a relationship with the Father needs to be reconciled. And that was his first mission. That was his first time coming to this earth. We call it his first coming. He came as a suffering servant. He came to lay down his life once for all, the just for the unjust. We read in verse 27, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas, come, look at me, examine me. Look, because I am the resurrection and the life.'" We don't know if Thomas actually went and touched Jesus. My understanding is, as we continue on, that I think that he was just so overwhelmed with seeing Jesus that he probably just fell at his feet and made a confession. It says, "Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" What an awesome experience it was for Thomas to see the risen Christ standing right in front of him. And I believe he was so overwhelmed emotionally that he fell on his face before the Lord and made this confession: "My Lord and my God." Are you willing to make that confession today? Is Jesus your Lord? Is he your God? Have you realized, just as Thomas, he had doubts? He wasn't sure how everything was going to work out. But when Jesus came and revealed himself to Thomas, Thomas recognized he was his Lord and his God. When I think about seeing and believing, I realize again that there are many individuals just like Thomas in the world today. They are doubters. And I want to share with you my experience with the Lord, with the risen Christ, because I had an encounter with the risen Christ, just like everyone does who comes to know him. My encounter wasn't quite so spectacular as Thomas's. I wish I could have been back there. I wish I could have been one of the disciples. I wish I could have seen and touched the Lord. But I do believe, because I have come to know Jesus as my Savior. And you can have the same encounter. Even though Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, he is still here. And he's here to show you the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're willing to come to Jesus and examine Jesus, I believe that you will know the truth as I have come to know the truth. Yes, physically we can't see and touch, but spiritually we can. I'll never forget my first encounter with Christ when I was at college. I was about 20 years old, and I had been searching and seeking for many years. I had gone down the wrong path. I was tempted by the evil one when it came to the pleasure of sin, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of this world, and I yielded myself to that for a number of years. I'll never forget when I came to a point in my life when I was feeling empty. I was feeling like there was no purpose for my life. And I was beginning to reflect on my life and wondering, what is life all about? Why am I here? Where am I going in my life? I'm thankful that I had a mother who was a prayer warrior, and she had prayed for me for many years that I'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of her love and concern for my spiritual welfare, she had given me a Bible. And out of respect for her, when I went off to school, I had taken that Bible along and I placed it on my nightstand. Did I open it? No, not for a good year and a half. I indulged myself in the flesh. I was sinning, and I had a heart full of sin. And at that particular moment, I knew I needed a Savior. That night when I discovered, when I had this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, I was at a party. I had been drinking. I had been smoking marijuana. And I'll never forget when I looked around the room in this living room, when I looked at the individuals sitting on the couches and on the chairs, most of them were so drunk or so smoked out that they weren't even awake. They were sleeping. And the Lord spoke to my spirit, and he said, "Stan, is this living? Is this what you call life?" I began to remember what my mother had shared with me and what the church had shared with me when I was growing up, because I had the opportunity to go to a church that preached the gospel and told me about Jesus, but I had rejected it. I had gone after the pleasures of this world. But at that particular moment in my life when I realized I needed a Savior, I walked home from that party. And it was very cold. It was one of these cold nights in North Dakota because I was going to the School of Science in Wahpeton, North Dakota. And if you know anything about North Dakota, you know in the winter it's cold. I remember walking home, and it was probably a mile or so, this party to my apartment. I got home, I got to my apartment, and I picked up the Bible, and I opened to the book of Matthew, and I started reading. And as I read, Jesus jumped from the pages of Matthew into my heart. I realized I needed him, and I called out to him. I asked him to forgive me. I asked him to save me. I asked him to be my Lord and my Savior, just as Thomas did. And you know what happened that night? I was born again in the kingdom of God. The word says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things shall become new. And that was my experience. I remember waking up the next morning. It seemed like everything looked different. That's because I was a new creation in Christ. The old had passed, the new had come. And I had given my life to Christ and had come to know him as my Savior. Easter resurrection is all about life. It's all about finding the source of life. And I want to share with you how you can do that through the Word of God, because if you do want an encounter with God, where do you go? You go to the Word of God, because the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul, even to the joints and marrow and the soul, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if you want a living Word, if you want the Word of God, then pick up your Bible, because the Word of God is there, and God will speak to you clearly about who He is and what He has done for you. John is writing this gospel because he wants individuals, he wants people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We read this in verses 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John's gospel is written primarily to the Gentiles. That's you and me, unless you're a Jew. He's writing this to declare that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the living Word come down to us. He is the Messiah. He is the one who gave his life for you and for me. And if we will place our belief, our trust in him, we will be saved. What a message. Isn't that a great message? You can't hear a better message than that, especially at a time like this. When the world seems so lost and shut down, we have a Savior, a risen Savior, who wants to give life. And not just ordinary life, but life that overflows, the abundant life. Come to Jesus. Jesus invites you to come to him. Jesus is willing to say to you, come, examine me, look at me, review me, because if you do, I believe you'll come to know him as I have trusted in him as my Savior. Well, that's my story, and that's John's purpose in writing this. You can't hear a greater message than that because he lives. And because he lives, I too shall live. What a promise Jesus has given us. This life that we are in right now is not the end. It's only the beginning when we come to know Christ. Eternal life begins the moment you accept him as your Lord and Savior. When you put your faith in him, you will be living forever. And what a hope we have, a blessed hope of one day being out of this body in his very presence. I want to encourage you this morning to examine the scriptures. And if you want an encounter with the living Christ, then pick up your Bible and read the Gospel of John, because you will find him there, and he will find you. Amen, and God bless you. Father, we thank you again that you've given us such a clear message in the Gospel of John. We thank you that our Savior came to settle our doubts and to show us the way. We know that Thomas was an individual that we don't know very much about. We realize again that he had been with Christ for so many years, and we also understand that as he continued to follow Christ and trust in him, that his faith grew. And Father, how we all need that as we continue to study your word. And I'm so thankful that when we look at Thomas, that he went out as a missionary eventually. He's only mentioned once in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. With the group of the others that were in the upper room waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we see that Thomas went out to Syria. He went out to Iran. He eventually went to India. And there he was martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He started many, many churches. He was faithful to the end. And Lord, we too want to continue to carry the gospel to everyone, because you're our hope. You're the one that has died for us and given us life eternally. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.